Welcome back, WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We're completely calm and totally local around here. Don Moeller joining us, all as part of our Baltimore Positive programming here, and our very, very special here for this week and probably next, because there's so many topics and so many folks to talk to here. We're doing the arts, Don, and I know you have some special thanks as well as to our sponsors and, of course, Fronda Cohen for coming through with all of these folks who have been, to some point, shuttered or shut down. They can't do curbside service at the Symphony, but they can do internet service, and we're going to get out and chat with Peter Chomey from the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra. But Don, talk about our sponsors a little bit, and more than that, this whole arts series and what we're trying to accomplish here.
Well, we wanted to take a whole week and really focus on the arts in Baltimore. What could be more Baltimore positive than that? And that's, as you know, you and I usually produce these segments. This time we went out, we asked for a favor. We went back to one of the really great folks that I worked with in Baltimore County, Fronda Cohen, communications specialist. She was really the county's go-to person for arts and sciences. Peter obviously knows her well. Fronda, incredible booster of the arts, and she set up all of these interviews, so I thank Fronda for that. Again, our friends at State Fair in Catonsville, they still got breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Get out there, order carryout. They'll bring it right to your curbside. Fabies, outstanding crab cakes. I just got a notice a few minutes ago. I said in an earlier segment I had been notified that my crab cakes were on the way, so I think when I go down after this segment, they'll be there. It'll be crab cakes and crab soup for
you. Going to hate the pictures on your Facebook tomorrow when you try
man.
Those up.
I will put the pictures up. So jump on Fabies website. All you got to do is just hit the shop button, and they'll come right to your door. And then we thank our latest sponsors, Jeff Moeller, Moeller and Gary Realtors. Jeff's selling a lot of real estate, taking virtual tours, virtual settlements, you name it. It's happening out there, so give Jeff a call, 410-746-1547. So with that, Peter Chomey, Baltimore Symphony Orchestra, we are so pleased that you're joining us on Baltimore Positive, because we really want to talk about the great things that are happening in Baltimore's arts community, even during a pandemic. Welcome, Peter.
Well, thanks very much, Don. I really appreciate you and Nestor inviting me to talk today.
Well, you guys were in the news plenty, and, you know, everyone here, I mean, I go back to being a kid and coming down and, seeing the Nutcracker when I was a boy, and many nights at the Meyerhof, and I have an incredible love of music, and I was the pop music critic at the Evening Sun 30 years ago, and the business of music all the way around, whether, you know, you're a street musician or, you know, obviously even to the Rolling Stones and Pearl Jam having to cancel tours that I'm holding tickets for on my Ticketmaster right now. The whole world of music is quiet, but it's louder than ever when you consider that Garth Brooks and Trisha Yearwood would have been in my home twice in the last 10 days. And any musician out there is making music right now. But there's the monetization of feeding musicians, which I think is, you know, other than the Rolling Stones, is always an issue for starving artists and musicians, right?
Well, that's absolutely right, and we have had to cancel concerts due to this pandemic, and at the same time, we've still been able to perform some great music and bring it to people in their homes. A very difficult decision. In mid-March, we were rehearsing for Mahler's Third Symphony, and during that week, we realized that we'd have to make the difficult decision to cancel those concerts. And then recently, our musicians put together a really inspiring video of that same piece. We put that online onto the newly announced BSO Offstage page on our website, which has lots of great content, concerts from the past, along with new recitals that our musicians are doing.
Well, I'm looking at that page, and the outreach is just amazing. I mean, you've got music on there, you've got podcasts. You're really working to connect with the community. And Peter, I think that goes to the bigger issue here, particularly when it comes to the symphony. And I want to share with you, when the symphony was going through its difficulties late last year, early this year, I will tell you that I have a number of friends who were literally, they were in a state of depression that the symphony was in such dire straits, because maybe you can talk about this. The symphony is just such a source of inspiration and such a source of joy to so many people, not just in Baltimore City, but all across this state. Can you talk about the role of a world-class symphony and how you see it and why it's such a key part of a community's fabric?
Well, the BSO is regarded as one of the most important orchestras in the country. And in fact, when we went on our international tour in 2018 on our debut at the Royal Albert Hall and Edinburgh International Festival, I mean, this was really a way to have one of Maryland's greatest cultural assets highlighted on the international stage. But it's about what we're doing to enrich the lives of people in our community. It's the concerts at the Meyerhoff in Strathmore. It's the new free concerts that we've been doing in our new Symphony in the City series at Morgan State University and New Psalmist Church and other places. And we are excited to get back to those as soon as this crisis passes. But it's also the educational programs. Our musicians live and work here in our community, and our teachers of young people, teachers at Peabody, teachers of so many people. And one of the inspiring things that's been happening during this crisis is that we have still been doing music lessons. Our OrKids program is still doing lessons, but they're doing them online. So those young people who are at home because of this, all these health issues that we're dealing with, are still getting their music lessons every week.
Tell us more, Peter, about that. That's a program that a lot of folks may not know anything about, and that's what we're trying to do through these Baltimore Positive episodes, let people know about this. So talk about that program where the kids get lessons working with the symphony, how that works and what it's all about.
Now, OrKids was founded back in 2008 by Maren Alsup and the BSO with 30 young people, and it's grown to about 2,000 young people today. And it's reaching people who would otherwise, young people who might have economic circumstances where having an instrument and lessons and having instruction might be out of reach, and this is providing all of those lessons and doing it out in our community. We work with a number of schools in Baltimore to reach young people. And what we've been able to do now, and our OrKids team has done just a great job with it, is to have the teachers be able to interact online. So it's really a virtual lesson. We've all been doing lots of video conferences at this time. And so this is really like a one-on-one video conference where a student and their teacher, the students will play their assignment and the teacher gives their feedback like they would live in the classroom. But in this way, we're doing it online, so we don't have an interruption in that education.
Peter Chomey is here from the BSO, the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra. It says Baltimore right on the title. Of course, under the direction of music director, Maren Alsup, who I've had a chance to meet around town over the last week. For your organization, I always hear about the money and think about the money. And where does the money come from? And how do we support this? And how many concerts do they play? How big is the organization? Give me a little overview from the business side of this. And also, and we've talked to a lot of folks, whether it's the Reginald F. Lewis Museum or the zoo, everyone right now, every business in the world is bleeding money right now, that they're losing revenue that will, in many cases, never be recouped. But give us some sort of an idea about the size of your organization and where it is and how you can come out of this in some decent shape on the other end to make up some of these dates and do some of the things to recoup some of the revenue.
Yeah, there's been incredible work done since we had to cancel concerts. We've been very focused on making sure that we've got great offerings online. We've also been thinking ahead to how we can make sure that the BSO emerges from this period in the strongest possible position. So as we're canceling concerts, thinking about all the possible concerts that can be rescheduled, when those concerts are going to be rescheduled, so we are prepared to come back. As soon as we can begin playing concerts on the stage again, we're going to do that. The orchestra has been around for more than 100 years, and we have had our share of problems, as you know. But at the same time, we have an exciting multi-year plan that we just announced early this year. There's been incredible response to that plan and multi-year support from a lot of great friends of the BSO. And we've been around for over a century, and that's going to continue despite some issues that we've had along the way. The plan that we've put together, looking ahead through 2026, has looking at how we're going to raise money, sell tickets, and manage costs. And you asked about the what the business model is like. Like orchestras across the country, more than half our revenues come from contributions. About a third of them come from ticket sales, and the rest is from our endowment draw and from some very important support from our elected leaders at the state, county, and local level. So that's the a little bit about the composition. We have had some incredible support from friends of the BSO, and that is continuing at this time. People who want to make sure that the BSO comes out of this period in a strong position, ready to come back, ready to play concerts on the stage at the Meyerhoff, Strathmore, and other venues.
Peter, talk to people a little bit. There's so much to talk about when you talk about the Baltimore Symphony. Talk about the Strathmore. Folks that live up in this region may not know as much about it, but we have listeners all over the state. Talk about the Strathmore, what that is, and how it connects with the Baltimore Symphony.
The Music Center at Strathmore is in Montgomery County, and we just celebrated the 15th anniversary since that was built in 2005. And BSO is founding partner of the Music Center at Strathmore. The acoustics were designed with an orchestra in mind. We play almost 40 concerts a year. Right now it's probably about 35 concerts a year. We want it to be more at the Music Center. We have a great partnership with them, and the citizens of Montgomery County and the surrounding area are enriched by those concerts. The BSO would not be what it is today without Strathmore and without the Music Center at Strathmore.
Well, I spent a lot of nights down there with Alan McCallum rocking out, who was my former ballpark reporter at WNSD, who's moved on as well. I love Strathmore, love the BSO. Peter Chomey joining us here. He is the president and CEO of the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra. He's been here for a little over 2 years, and obviously this setback here with COVID, the music is one of the things that transfers a little bit. It's not the same as being there, and I think for any of us, we would all realize that at this point, that it's more intimate at home and acoustic, and we're all trapped in our homes and have DVDs and all of these other ways to get music. But for what you're trying to do, and I had a dear friend of mine who's a student at Berkeley who joined me this week, who put together this Burt Bacharach version of What the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love. It's got millions of shares. Barbara Streisand shared it amongst others. For symphonies and all of your players to not be able to be in the same room, what things can you envision in the coming weeks here that other musicians are going to inspire other musicians to do? Because it feels like every musician's trapped in a room right now, and I always joke about Elton John and Bernie Taupin writing lots of music from two separate rooms around the world famously. But for musicians, and you're a famous oboist, and maybe you can sit in and play your instrument a little bit right now in your room, but coming together for what any symphony can do separated over the next, let's say, 60 or 90 days or maybe longer?
It has been remarkable what we've seen with the innovative work that people are doing. So, for example, our musicians played the end of Mahler's Third Symphony, which is a huge orchestra. Each played it individually in their homes, and then it was put together into one video. And if you have not been to our website to check that out, I hope you will, to go visit BSO Offstage. So that was an example where something that was supposed to be played by a full orchestra was done with individuals in their homes and then brought together, and they still were able to make music together. We're also seeing our musicians playing recitals from their house, live streaming recitals, and we're then later putting them up on our website on BSO Offstage. And in a few cases, somebody's even done something where they have accompanied themselves. We had one of our musicians play their instrument, and they also happened to play the piano. They did both parts and then put them together into one video. So there's been some really creative, innovative things that have been done to bring music to our community at this critical time. So I hope people will check that out. There have been many, many thousands of views of these videos, and we're going to continue doing that. We're also going to continue offering music lessons online during this time.
Personally, a little healing for you. You pick up your oboe and just sit in a room, and is there something therapeutic about it during a time when, let's be honest, for all of us, there's just a lot to be anxious about on a daily basis.
Now, I'm not playing anymore, but I can tell you the healing, calming power of music makes a huge difference for me personally, to maybe take a little break from listening to the news and staying on top of the latest developments with the CDC and our elected leaders, and instead listening to a little bit of our favorite music. That really, you know, that really makes a difference for me. I know it makes a big difference for all of us. And I may happen to like classical music best, but plenty, I mean, anything out there is, it can really bring a lot of just, healing and calming power for all of us.
Peter, what was your first thought? We're talking to all the folks throughout the arts community and what you all are up against. What, when this thing developed and it was clear that the governor had no choice but to shut everything down, as the CEO of the BSO, what were your first thoughts? What ran through your mind?
I would think about a couple things. First of all, we had a sense that these restrictions were coming, and we had already made the really tough decision to cancel our concerts in order to help keep our audiences and musicians and staff safe. So we knew that we needed to respond quickly, make sure we understood what the guidance was, and take action. I think that same day we established our COVID-19 task force that meets every day to stay on top of what's happening. The second thing is, what could we do to keep bringing music to the community? We have, in our new multi-year strategic plan, we've talked about doing more digitally, doing more to bring music to people on our website and other venues. Kind of through virtual music. We talked about that, and so we've been working very intensively on that to bring music into people's homes during this time. So that was the second thought. And then practical things, quickly having all of our staff work from home, making sure that they had the tools to do that. A lot of the things that every organization's dealing with right now. And the transition, the speed of that transition has been really inspiring to me. Our staff very quickly transitioned to working from home. We've had a board of directors, committee meetings all remotely with video conference. Those are going remarkably well. So those are a few thoughts of what we had to do when this was all announced.
Peter, you've had this, and again, for those of you just joining us, with Peter Tomey, Baltimore Symphony Orchestra, like so many of the other arts organizations throughout the city and the state, trying to keep folks connected during this pandemic. Peter, one of the things that we like when we chat with our guests on Baltimore Positive is to talk about growing up and how growing up sort of formed who they were today and how it led them on a path and the journey. I know in your case, I was looking at your background. You went to a high school for the arts. Is it Interlochen? Is that how I say it?
Interlochen, Michigan.
Interlochen. I knew it was in Michigan. I wasn't sure it was Lochen or Logan, but Interlochen, Michigan. So you're a young kid. You're going to the ninth grade, and you say, man, I want to go to the school for the arts. Tell us how that happens in your home. Were your mom and dad into music? What was the inspiration for you at that young age, wanting to go to a high school for the arts in Michigan?
Well, my parents both played, and I ended up becoming an oboe player really by accident. I had been playing the saxophone, didn't practice very much, and my mom said, your dad's old oboe's in the basement. Why don't you play that instead? We don't have to pay the rent on your saxophone. So I said, oh, sure, I'll play that. And I was more concerned about baseball than I was about the oboe then. And it turned out...
We'll have that in the second segment. That's what I used to do for a living. Then they took baseball away. At least you can still play the oboe. I can't even play wiffle ball right now, Peter.
From the Tigers back to the oboe. Continue with the oboe.
So then it turned out I was pretty good at the oboe, and within a couple of years I had decided I wanted to be a professional oboist. I even decided where I wanted to go to college, and I did all those things, and that's how I ended up at Interlochen. I had an oboe teacher who'd been a student. So, and Interlochen changed my life. It's a wonderful place. For those who haven't heard of it before, it used to be called National Music Camp, and now it's Interlochen Arts Camp. up in Michigan.
Looks like it's on a beautiful body of water. Is it on a body of water?
It's in between a couple lakes, and you know, not terribly far from Lake Michigan, but it's in between a couple lakes. So that's how I ended up going there, and then later was a professional oval player, and had started to develop some issues with the playing, and I had to stop playing, and so I ended up being in business for many years, and now I've combined them. I've combined the business part of my career and the music part, and it's just what a privilege it is to be able to do that.
Do you still watch baseball though?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of baseball. Okay. I played right field, though. That tells you how good I was. I mean,
well, we had a former Oriole manager, Phil Regan, who was from Grand Rapids, Michigan. So that's what I think of when I think of Grand Rapids, Michigan. And you, of course, came from there. You know, I wanted to ask you, because we do politics around here in Baltimore Positive. You worked for 3M for a period of time. The COVID thing obviously has come to that corporate doorstep with masks. It's really amazing what masks have become and their value in the last month, right? I mean, and I'm sure you worked in that amongst a million other items that 3M was involved in, but they find themselves in the middle of something that literally we all need to save our lives right now, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And it's important that the distinction between the N95 respirator and the mask is really important. They have different purpose, different use. And but it's, 3M is one of the major manufacturers of that. And I'm really encouraged by the agreement that they've been able to come to in the last day or so. It's going to be very important in having that production reaching people in the United States and around the world. Those have been really important discussions, thinking about how to work together with manufacturing partners in multiple countries. 3M's got sales of products in over 200 countries around the world, and is a very respected manufacturer of healthcare products, among many other things.
See, Don, we get these Six Sigma guys around here. We learn stuff, right?
I'm telling you, we get smarter every day. Peter, what when you look back in your time at the BSO, what's been the most inspirational moment where the symphony's done something, or there's been an encounter with the public where you say to yourself, man, I'm in the right place? What's been that moment that really reaffirmed for you that you're in the right place at the right time?
I'm going to pick two. I'm going to pick a musical one and a cultural one. The musical one is the BSO's debut on the stage of the Royal Albert Hall in London during the BBC proms. That moment, and seeing our musicians go onto the stage for the rehearsal and seeing the looks on their faces before they sat down to rehearse, we all knew what a big deal it was for the BSO to have its debut at one of the most important music festivals in the world. So I will pick that as a musical moment. And the cultural moment is from early this year. All of us worked together. We put together a new vision committee that has musicians and board members and staff and other community leaders. We came together, all of those different stakeholders came together and put together a multi-year plan with the input of all those folks. And we've come together after difficult period last year, but the way that we've come together early this year was absolutely incredible. And then our community's response to that and some extraordinary investments in our long-term success in response to seeing the organization come together that way, that's been very, very inspiring. And that has made me more optimistic about the future than I've been in a long time. And I am doing everything I can, and we all of us are, to hold on to that optimism and prepare to come out of this period in the strongest possible position. So those are two moments, a musical moment and a cultural moment.
Peter, I appreciate you sharing that. If I can build on that, because I think your answer to the second one really leads to the burning issue for people who truly believe that symphonies matter, that symphonies make a difference. And that is, and correct me if my analysis of this is wrong, it seems to me that the future of the BSO depends on three components. And again, please jump in and correct me if I've got it wrong. It depends on government support. It depends on corporate support. And it depends on public support. Is that accurate, or am I missing a piece?
I think that's right. I think that it's the philanthropic support of individuals, companies, foundations, and that government support is very important. And then having our family of audience members expand and having the support of the public in coming to concerts, and if they're able to help make a contribution, that's also very important. So I do think that you have that right. It's a lot
of people working together. So what do you need, Peter? I apologize for jumping in. What do you need? Because we don't get this opportunity very often. What do you need from the public? You know, I always say, and Nestor, this would be the sports analogy, and you talk about it. People who say they love baseball, but they won't go to the games, right? People who say they love the Ravens, but they don't show up on Sunday. So we've got, I don't think there's any doubt, Peter, that people, when they're in discussions with friends and neighbors, say, yeah, it's really important to have a symphony. We say, okay, that's nice that you think that. What do you need them to do to get this symphony on solid financial ground?
I would say if someone is a subscriber or a single ticket buyer and the concerts have been canceled and they think that they're able to perhaps make donate those tickets back right now for the concerts that have been canceled, that would really help. If somebody is goes on to our website, to BSO Offstage, and listens to some of this great music that our musicians and Marin and others have put together, and they say, "But this, I really know that our symphony is important. I want to keep them strong during this time." And in the midst of all these incredibly important priorities that we have in our community at a time of humanitarian crisis, if they feel that they would like to provide some financial help at this time, of course, we would be very grateful for that. So those are a couple of things. If somebody says, well, I really need to learn more about where the BSO is headed, there is an updates page on our website, and there is a very long report that's been put together with robust plans. It was the state work group on the BSO put all that together. And I have to mention Senator Ed Casemeyer, who did such a great job as chairman of that group. They could read this report. And if they said, I got to learn more about the organization, in-depth analysis before I would make a contribution, it's all there and they can go and learn about it.
Hey, Don, I'm on a website here, and you know, one of my things has been, and Peter, I live at the harbor, so I'm so used to seeing the school buses out in front of the Science Center and the aquarium, and after Freddie Gray, not a lot of that happened. I'm disappointed that this, through the telescope program you guys had worked out with young children, you had a bunch of midweek concerts, and I mean, you welcome a lot of children down there as well.
That's absolutely right, and we've continued to do those midweek concerts. As soon as we're able to do that, we will be bringing it back. And but I'll tell you, I mean, the students in the Baltimore Symphony Youth Orchestras are still going to be, we're still going to be doing everything we can to work virtually. Usually they're up there at the Carver Center in Baltimore County rehearsing, and we're doing everything we can to keep that educational experience going even during this critical time.
Mention Carver, you're getting, that's right in Mueller's Alley, right, Don?
Oh, I love the George Washington Carver Center for Art. Just a wonderful, wonderful facility. Again, Nestor, we thought we would like Arts Week. It's been amazing, Peter. I can't thank you enough.
I know a lot more than I knew 20 minutes ago. I promise you that, right?
No doubt about it. Peter, any final messages for the folks who are driving around in their cars or tuning in or listening on their phones to Baltimore Positive? And again, we tell folks, baltimorepositive.com, or download it wherever you get your podcast. Anything you'd like to leave our listeners with, Peter?
Thank you very much for your support of not only the BSO, but all of the arts. And as soon as we can come back and play concerts on the stage at the Meyerhoff and other places, we're going to be doing that. And in the meantime, stay tuned. We're going to keep bringing the music to you each and every week.
Let Maren know we want to have her on sometime soon. We're going to watch, listen, and stay connected up at bsomusic.org. Don Moeller and I do this little thing called Baltimore Positive. We're trying to stay calm and stay local and tell some stories and help some folks around here who certainly need some help in the arts community. You're going to hear from the Walters and the BMA and the Science Center and the Aquarium and the Zoo and music and all sorts of theater and all sorts of things that bring us together and stuff we can't do right now. And it sucks that we can't do it right now, but you can email me and find me out at WNST.net, Towson, Baltimore, and AM 1570. We are Baltimore Positive. We're going to keep it that way.